You could stand at half court and ref better than these guys.
Knocks one down and is called for another foul.
Tic Tacko, come on.
Tacko's having some fun here.
And we are back with another episode of From the Rafters. Sam and I are here recording on Tuesday, July 20th, and we are here with longtime friend of the podcast, Tim Shields. How are you doing today, Tim?
Doing all right, guys. Long time no see.
For real.
No, you are not watching a pregame show. This is a podcast. We are not. There's no game today. The month is flying by. It's almost the end of July already. It's insane. We're going to be watching basketball again soon. Even though the season hasn't ended, there's a game tonight. But who cares, man? It's not the Celtics. That's what I say.
Hey, the game's been great, though. I mean, I'm excited for the finals tonight. You want Milwaukee to switch sides? You were a Suns guy for a while there.
Really?
Well, I mean, they beat the Lakers. They've done the Lord's work. But, I mean, Milwaukee also did the Lord's work. So I don't really know what you want out of me. I mean, it's a rock and a hard place. I like the things Giannis has said. I like that he has been loyal to Milwaukee. It's kind of funny that like him and Middleton were on the team for years and years and years, and they were really bad at the beginning. Like I saw a post today, it was like they've won 15 games the first year, and then in the playoffs so far they've won 15 games. So that's quite the turnaround. Good for them. That's maybe not the way all championship teams should be built, but it's nice to see once in a while somebody get rewarded for not buying everybody or blowing up the teams or teaming up with the super friends there. So
I think it's pretty cool.
Pretty good.
I think this finals overall is really, really good for the NBA. I think this really helps the argument of like having a homegrown star and building around them the right way. Like even Middleton was acquired via trade because I think he originally was drafted by the Pistons.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's been with the Bucks now that pretty much everyone remembers him as a Buck. And, you know, you have Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and you added CP3 to that core. And I mean, hell, you know, they went 8-0 in the bubble and fell short last year. And look at them now this year. It's crazy. So
yeah.
I think either way, like I can live with the outcome. I'm rooting for the Suns because I want Chris Paul to finally reach the promised land. You know, he's finally in the NBA finals. Just get a ring so he can like retire and have it not be like this dreaded monkey hanging on his back. So, but if Giannis wins it, he absolutely deserves it. The Bucks have been fantastic. He's been unreal. And I don't even think he's 100% healthy, but you know, it's pretty awesome to watch. I think this is good for the NBA.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, game five was amazing to watch. Drew Holiday alley-oop, obviously. We all know the highlights. But I saw something on Instagram before we dive into Celtics-related topics. Would you consider this Bucks team a super team? Now, I just was like looking at teams of years past, and they were making the argument. Because, I mean, I don't think it is. I think it's just a well-constructed team. But then at the same time, I don't think last year's Lakers team was a super team either, right? Like, it's just – you got to debate because it's tough because that's two guys, right? It's two guys, and then the talent fall-off on that Lakers team was very stark. Like, Kuzma's good. But then this team is just three stars and a well-put-together roster. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's an interesting debate.
I feel like super team is almost subjective, not as a bias kind of thing saying, you know, the Lakers are a super team because we don't like them or whatever. I think it's more about the team being homegrown. Like it's a lot harder to call a team a super team if they've got guys that they've, you know, had forever. You know, a super team to me is really like a team that comes together, you know, meant to win. And it's a bunch of guys that weren't necessarily all on the team. Like, think of like the Avengers, right? Like the Avengers are a super team that don't always play together. If you want to put it like that, they team up for big deals. You know, like I guess you could say Captain America and Falcon are a regular team. There you go. There's your Marvel analogy. Absolutely sensational work from Sam today.
I think the one thing that with the Lakers specifically, I think differentiates them from the Bucks is they've got two guys who won MVP. They have two guys who are in that conversation regularly. Like, forgive me. Did AD ever win MVP?
No, but he's been in the conversation.
He's been in the conversation.
I don't think he's ever finished top four though. I saw a chart recently. I don't know.
He
I understand your point though. He's a top 10 player. Like honestly, he's a top 10 player in the league.
he's got to be probably a top five at his position too. And at least LeBron at one point in his career, I don't know about now. I mean, he slowed down a little bit, but
washed.
I mean, he's still like a top three player in the league, which is crazy to think if you're really like pushing that narrative. But, you know, you've got two guys who clearly chose to team up together. And I think, you know, the Bucks traded for Middleton years ago, and for the most part, they built out organically and signed, you know, good free agents. And then that big trade for Drew Holiday, like, that's the big swing they took. I don't feel like that's a super team. I think the Lakers are closer to a super team, and that's just because the sheer talent of AD and LeBron.
Yeah, and that's fair. I just don't think, like, from my perspective, I think this year's Bucks team is a better, more well-constructed team than the Lakers. But I also understand that, you know, LeBron and AD are probably they would arguably be the best two players in the series. Like Giannis versus AD, that's a debate. Like at this point, most people would probably have Giannis over AD. But like last year, it was like a real debate whether who was a better player. So I think it's just the depth of the Bucks puts them above the Lakers. But at that point, I don't think the Lakers are a super team. Like, yeah, the concept of a super team, like you said, Sam, it's subjective because, you know, oh, they teamed up, which makes them a super, like the Nets, that's a super team, obviously.
Yeah.
They lost, and like they lost, which is great. I'm not saying like, oh, the championship's invalid because they got hurt, but they got hurt. I mean, you can't ignore
they
the
still
fact
beat
that
them.
Kyrie and Harden. Yeah, exactly. They still beat them.
And
I'm not going
to. Katie's like, the best guy on that team, and they still had to play against him.
I mean, name a team that's in the playoffs that was 100% healthy. Like, you can't
exactly.
Because of this
season,
you know? It's all of a war of attrition.
Were the
and
Knicks
building
healthy?
Your team right.
They still lost in five? I think the Knicks were
healthy.
The
Knicks were healthy.
Clown-ass Knicks.
No, well, Mitchell Robinson was hurt, but he was hurt.
Oh,
also,
no, that's
true.
Nah, but I mean, Mitchell Robinson's a big piece. He's a big piece.
He is a big piece, but they, I don't know. They were used to playing without him. But I guess we can't be biased. But it's funny you were talking about Giannis and AD. It is funny because I would still say AD is the better guy, but at the same time, if you switch them, I don't think Milwaukee has nearly the same success. I feel like AD has like cemented himself as a Robin because anytime, and he's had good teams. You know, he's had solid players on
his
teams.
He's had Drew Holiday.
He's had Drew Holiday. He's had Cousins when Cousins was good. I mean, he's been on teams that should have won and he hasn't. So I feel like he might have cemented himself as a Robin, even though he's absolutely still top 10 in the league. It's just like, he's not the kind of player that you put in a team and he's going to change the whole complexion of your team.
Is
like, it's not going to make you a winner.
Is he top 10?
Probably.
What, hang on. Are you debating if Anthony Davis is a top 10 player?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Let's
there are
just
a lot
go
of
through,
good
like,
players in the
so,
league.
So, okay,
now.
I can name 10 right now. Right? I can name 10 right now. You got LeBron, KD, Kawhi, Steph, Dame is debatable. James Harden, I'd clearly put above him. Right, Giannis, you can debate. Jokic, you can debate. Embiid, you can debate. Like there's guys.
Jack's right. There's a lot of good players in the league going
it's
around
close.
Right now.
It's close, but it's.
You
I
even,
think
did
Luka?
You even say
Luka. I didn't even say
yeah,
Luka.
Didn't even say
no,
Luka.
He didn't even say Luka. I so, think.
I'm just saying it's debatable.
I would put AD still. I would put him above Embiid. Jokic having the season that he did. No, I don't think, dude. I don't even think that's crazy. I really don't think that's crazy. Because, like, the main argument you can have with them is that, like, they both have had health issues. Like, they both have had issues with durability.
Well, would the Lakers be better with Embiid instead of Davis? I think they would.
But you could also say the 76ers would probably be better with Anthony Davis.
Yeah. I agree with that, too. I think
know.
They'd be better once
I don't know, man.
I out of the city, but that's regardless.
I feel like I'm out on Davis as, like, a number one.
Yeah.
And Embiid's
the
number one. In Philly, so like I feel like if Davis is there, they don't do as well.
Yeah, but even then, like they're still falling short. They've got
oh,
other
they
issues,
are
though.
It's, I don't think it's Embiid's. I don't think it's Embiid's fault for sure.
I think some of it's on him, but it's mostly on Simmons. Like you know, he's not always in the best condition. He craps out at the end of games sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's really crazy. Like in my head, like right now, I cannot picture Davis leading a team as the best player, even though I've. Told you he's better than LeBron just to troll, but like
he had some serious chances in New Orleans too. Like those were good teams.
Those
right?
were good
like,
teams.
With Rondo
was playing
off the
well
bench. You had Cousins. You had Drew Holiday. Like they weren't bad teams. They swept the Blazers, and I know the Blazers don't play good defense, but they swept them. Like it wasn't even close. Then they ran into the Warriors, which is just like, what are you gonna do at that point? Like, so I mean, it's tough to make that debate. And he, in fairness, he won in his first year in LA, he won a championship, right? And I'm still of the mind that that wasn't a super team. I don't like they might have been the best team in the league, but I don't think it was a super team. There were other teams that could have beaten them. I think the Clippers could have beaten them. I think, you know, the Nuggets maybe not, maybe they're too young. I think the Celtics would have had a chance. I think the Bucks would have had a chance. I think the Heat had a chance if Bam Adebayo and Gordon dropped. Bam and Gordon didn't play. Right, they're missing two of their top three players. Like I'm not saying they would have won
being there anyways, and it's annoying because they had to go through the Celtics. But I mean, come on.
Like, I mean, they massively overachieved. Like the Miami Heat massively overachieved. Do they still have really good talent? Sure, but like if they were not going in there 100% full health, like they were going to be screwed because the Lakers just they have that experience. There's a lot,
and they still took two games. And they still took two games. I'm not saying they would have won, right? And maybe I'm a little biased now because I've been writing about them a lot. But it's if they had Bam and Gorin, it at least would have been more competitive. But regardless, yeah. So how did this spiral into this? We were talking about the finals, you know, Bucks
finals, and you said you said Giannis if they were playing the Lakers or something.
We went off super team tangent.
Super teams though, I feel like you gotta have three guys. I feel like to be a super team, you really have to have three.
So then the Lakers weren't a super team last year.
Yeah, like I'm with you. Like I really don't think they were. Even though I like it better when it's like two good players on the team better than three, because it means dynamic more duos. Teams. It's more competitive. And you
last
say
year was the only year
Milwaukee.
We got of that. Last year,
Milwaukee's
year
really
that.
A duo
of the dynamic duos.
No,
there weren't trios, in my opinion.
I know Jack's better respond to what I'm saying.
Sorry, go ahead,
like,
Sam.
That Holiday, like, Holiday's a fantastic player, but he's not a superstar game. Like, he's not at the same level as the other two guys.
I think you can make the argument Holiday's better than Middleton.
I don't think so. I think Middleton's been their guy at the end of games, creating shots. For
I know.
He's been insane this series.
As good as...
He's playing the Celtics every game, Jack.
I know.
Holiday has struggled on the offensive end. I'm not denying that. But what he's bringing on the defensive end is just ridiculous for the Bucks, right? And he's been good offensively in the last few games too, right? He has had his struggles, but he hasn't been bad recently, right? And I think there's a serious argument to be made who is the better player there. And I don't think either are close to the level of Giannis at this point, but I don't think those two are too far up. I'd probably put Middleton better, but I think there's definitely an argument, you know, to be made. I don't think Middleton's like years ahead of Drew Holiday from that standpoint. And they have a bunch of other talented guys. People forget, like, Dante DiVincenzo's hurt right now, too. And he's a starter for them. Bobby Portis has been great. You know,
Brook Lopez. I love Brook Lopez.
He's been great.
He was such a good signing for them all those years ago. He's been so good for that team.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Oh, my God.
Last thing. I think Giannis needs to play center going forward. I don't see any reason why he hasn't been playing. I mean, he's got the size. He's big enough, strong enough. I mean, he's always compared to Shaq, and I feel like they play him at forward just because he can move the ball and bring it up.
Yeah, I think up till this point, they didn't have someone who could kind of fill that gap at the power forward, but now that they have PJ Tucker, I don't see any reason that he can't play center, right? Because before that, who are they going to play at the four? Like, that can cover that position. Like, they can't bump Middleton up because, like, he's a good defender, but he's not going to bang down low with some of those bigger post guys, so... But now, like I said, now that they have PJ Tucker, I think they can definitely play him at the five moving forward. But anyway, circling all the way back around to what I was saying earlier, Celtics stuff, I did want to get into some things.
I'm sorry guys had to listen to 20 minutes of non-Celtics. I know if I was listening.
It's okay,
even
guys.
Even though I enjoyed the conversation.
It's content.
It's
good.
It's
content.
If I was listening. Oh, it's appropriate game sixes tonight, right?
Yeah. It's content. It's content.
I'd be like, shut up about the other team. Who cares?
Tremont Waters has been away from the team, apparently, looking for a bigger role elsewhere. Now,
Tremont Waters turns heel.
Oh, my God.
Sam and I were fairly big Tremont Water guys at the start of the last season. Tim, I'm pretty sure you were, you know, somewhat high in him. At least you thought he was
like a good enough
guy. Where is he going? Like, where is this bigger role for Tremont Waters? Like, I love the guy. I think he has a potential backup role.
I think, I think he really suffered because there wasn't a G League. I think he was put in the game sporadically. He didn't have a consistent time playing games.
He played
so
well in the G League the other year, though. So, like,
yeah, he was like
had that chance.
No. I'm not saying, and that's why when he was playing for the Celtics, he was playing so well. Because he wasn't like ice cold coming in. It's like when you're in baseball and you're warming up a reliever, you can't just put him in without having him pitch. You got to have him warm up, and he's getting in the game. without any kind of warm-up. He's just been watching. I think if he does stick around, not that he will, or even if he does, he might not have that big of a role, but he is going to be better this year wherever he plays than he was last year if he's playing consistent minutes, whether it's in the NBA or the G League, just because he's getting more reps. If you do something all the time, you're going to be better at it than if you're doing it every once in a while. Even if you're practicing every day, being in a game is different.
I think, to be fair, he also doesn't want to be a two-way player. And this is the same thing with Taco Fall. I think I want to say it was Jay King who dropped an article with The Athletic like a while back, like a few weeks back, talking about how not many players stay on two-way contracts for like three straight years. And now they're going on like year three. And for Water specifically, you know, we've seen these flashes. And I agree, like not having a G League definitely hurt him. And it's not the only player that it's affected. Like we saw that affect Aaron Nesmith and Romeo Langford straight up like came back and was like immediately plugged in. A lot of guys who could benefit from playing minutes just anywhere. And like these Celtics could not afford that last year. You know, I think it was a symptom of the situation, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be here. And it's kind of crazy to me that like he actually came out and was like speaking through his agent. It's like, yeah, I'm going to look elsewhere. And it's like, okay, well, pardon my language, but like good fucking luck. Like, I don't know where he's going to be able to get that spot. Yeah.
He's aware though. But like where?
Okay. It's going to be a rebuilding team. It has to be.
Detroit's probably got two point guards that they drafted back-to-back years. So I don't, well.
It'll probably be the Thunder. Realistically, right?
Draft Cunningham. Could be the Thunder. Should.
Could be Suggs.
He could back up Fox in Sacramento if I'm not missing anybody drastic. I know they DeLon have. I think Wright. They have DeLon Wright.
They have Halliburton.
Oh, Halliburton's a good player. Teams that he could
at
be
best,
on.
He's going to be guard three, like, or guard four.
I mean,
what
you could
teams
make an
are
argument
supposed
for
to suck this year?
The Rockets. He could go to the Rockets.
He could go to the Rockets and play. He could probably go up to Toronto and be a backup.
No, I don't think he can go to Toronto. They have
Malachi. Well, I guess it depends what happens with Lowry.
Yeah, they got Malachi Lowry. Flynn, though. But they got Flynn. I think Flynn's going to get those minutes over him.
He might start if Lowry's got
though,
start. Right?
I don't know if they want Ben Fleet at the point. He might play. He's Gary always
Trent.
Played off.
You got Gary Trent to play the other guy.
Not true.
There's just so much depth at the guard that it's going to be tough for him to find
Washington's
a 5'11 point
team.
Guard. Washington could actually might be a good idea because Raul Neo's a free agent.
Charlotte's got a lot of guards.
He's not going to Charlotte.
Dude, Charlotte is like full of guards.
Yeah,
guard
Pacers could use him maybe. Depending what they do.
If they don't re-sign McConnell, maybe they could use
Chicago. I mean, there are teams that like. Oh, man. I don't know.
You want
there
McConnell?
Are teams.
Tim, is that like, is that what you're rubbing your hands for?
I like McConnell. I mean, I love Brogdon too. There's just so many moves that could be made, but I think Waters is out, and I just wonder how they upgrade that depth. Like, it's probably going to be the taxpayer MLE that they use in a guard, unless they do something via trade, because they could definitely fit somebody in that TPE. I looked at a couple options, and I could go through a couple, too. Actually, I don't know if you guys use this, but Fanspo, I love their trade machine. I found their trade machine, like, a little while ago.
It's so much better than ESPN.
It's
so
like, worlds
better.
And, like, Real GM is really good, but, like, this actually has, like, updated money. And it gives you like all of the updated payroll.
You can
and, like,
change contracts too. Like if you think someone's going to do a sign and trade, like I went in when I was writing an article about Kendrick Nunn, I changed his contract to 15 mil so I could trade him in a sign and trade. It's such a great website.
Free advertising for Fanspo, but
we need to get some sponsors on the show. We're starting to get a little bit of people that listen to us. I mean, come on.
We'll see.
Somebody
we'll
hit me with a seltzer sponsorship. Come on. That's all I drink.
Sam and his seltzer.
Yeah.
Well, and on, Tim too. He's got. Spindrift, what do you have? I have the Price Right brand. Shout out to Price Right.
Spindrift. They put a little bit of juice in it. It's excellent.
Free advertising. Go shop at Price Right, I'm sure. I mean.
Tim, you mentioned some backup depth, and that kind of leads me into my next point. Celtics Summer League team, like the beginnings of the roster were announced. Jared Weiss released an article on The Athletic. The main guys, Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith, Carson Edwards, Romeo Langford, and Yamadar, obviously we know is coming over. Yamadar has had his initial workouts with Brad Stevens and the Celtics coaching staff. And one line that stood out to me that I wrote down, Madar turned heads with his playmaking ability, but will need to continue to bulk up to show he can still play his style against NBA physicality in Vegas. So I'm looking forward to Yamadar. I looked into him a little bit. I wrote an article about him. I think he could be great. He's like 6'3", great playmaker, great shooter. It's just a matter of, like I said, if he can bulk up and transition to the NBA from the Israeli league. Because, Sam, I know you said this before. It's not like he's been playing in the Euros or even
dude, he's playing in Israel. I mean, tell me another player that plays in Israel. At least if you say the Euro league, the Gasols play there. I mean, come on. Yeah, Basile's in. I mean, I can tell you guys that are in the Euro. I can't tell you anybody in Israel. Tell you guys in Australia.
I'm Googling it. Omri Caspi is there, but he's retiring.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm looking through names. I really don't see anything else. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
David Blatt played there or coached there, right? Coached there.
Fantastic.
Sue Bird, so I think, played for the Women's League. I see that.
Yeah, but I feel like the WNBA is different, or women's players are different because
they have to
the
play
league
over
here.
Which
is so issue, but,
yeah, they have to
the window
play international
is so small.
Ball. Yeah,
the rest of the year they have to do something.
Yeah, which crazy. That sucks.
That's not fair.
But, it makes sense. I mean, that's another nobody. Unless they alternated nights with the NBA, like say the NBA always did Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they did Tuesday, Thursday games. Like nobody's gonna. People aren't just, or the majority of people aren't gonna watch that over the NBA,
which is sucks. It sucks because it's good basketball. It's just. It's its own issue. It's another thing, but
it's a different style of play. I mean,
it's
a different game.
But yeah, Yamadar is joining the Celtics summer league team. PP, Nesmith, Carson, Romeo. No Grant Williams or Robert Williams on that list. Does that stand out to you guys at all?
Good that Robert Williams isn't playing, but Grant should be playing. To be honest with you, Grant needs.
It's interesting. Now that leads me to believe either they think he's good enough to already be solidified in the rotation, or he could get traded. That's the only two explanations I have from that. You know,
well, I don't think Carson Edwards is going to be on the team. So, I mean,
well, yeah, but they want to show off his value, like because Carson's got nothing at this point. Grant at least has some value, right?
I think Grant has less value, not than Carson, but he has less value than he had last summer.
Well, yeah, he also did have a sophomore slump, right? Like, there was such a quick turnaround into his second season. He needs it. Yeah, and I think also, like we said, this past season's been tough. They were playing him in not a position that really suits his skill set. He's not fast enough or in shape enough to really guard the threes or fours consistently. He works better as a small ball five, but then you had Rob Williams having that breakout that he did. You have him buried behind Tristan Thompson. And then, you know, it just didn't play into his favor. But I think if they move Tristan Thompson, the Grant stays because that opens up a bunch more minutes for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they need to move Tristan Thompson. I think that's the top priority. But
that contract's very movable. I don't think people realize like that's actually kind of a trade chip right now.
That's the only kind of trade I want to talk about. It's the only one that makes any sense.
But who wants him?
Clippers
favorite,
want
right?
him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
They want him really bad.
If the Clippers move on from Ibaka.
Maybe. I think the Lakers trade is most likely with TT. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, because the clutch factor. And they just got, I mean, they're letting Andre Kareem, Abdul-Dramond.
Yeah, they've got no playable centers outside of, what, 90-year-old Marcus Gasol. Like, that's great for you. But Montrezl Harrell was unplayable in the playoffs last year. Andre Drummond was unplayable. It's a mess there.
It's kind of crazy what happened with Harrell.
He's got the nerve to come out and say, like, they aren't playing him right, whatever the hell he said.
Yeah, he said some clown shit. I think Montrezl Harrell, I don't think Harrell's as bad as they made him look. I just think the way they play is bad. I think he
doesn't suit him.
Harrell needs to be in a different situation.
Harrell would fit well here. I don't think centers. No. I'm not saying right now. I'm saying, like,
he'd be great.
The way I said it is stupid, but, like, he would have fit well, like, on the team, like when Horford was here the first time as a backup and like
I
the Amir
Harrell
Johnson kind of role.
I want him in Miami, but that's just for my own selfish reasons.
I don't want any guys in Miami, Jack. You can stay out there, sir. I don't want anybody there. I don't want anybody Philadelphia. I don't want anybody in Brooklyn or Milwaukee.
I think a Thompson and I don't even know a Thompson and maybe Carson and the 45th pick for Kyle Kuzma would be amazing. I would love that trade. I would absolutely love that trade. Kyle Kuzma is not nearly as bad as everybody thinks. We were talking about this with Adam, and the way he phrased it was everyone is so still caught up about how Lakers fans thought he was better with Tatum that they don't realize that he's actually a quality NBA player. And like, Kyle Kuzma would be perfect on the Celtics team. What do you think?
So I think when I talked to Adam about it, I think we talked about it in one of the green rooms, and he kind of summed it up perfectly where it's like, Kyle Kuzma, I don't dislike his skill set. I think he plays like a style that would be very good for the Celtics rotation. Like, he could be one of your first wings off the bench. And I think in a system that, you know, focuses on defense, and his skill set is not bad. I think he just got overhyped by Lakers fans. But I think that's because of, like, you have that bad taste in your mouth that a lot of people will be like, I don't want to train for Kyle Kuzma because of, like, all of the Kuzma better than Tatum crap that came out in year one that blew up in their face, like, immediately after. So I don't know. He'd be a good piece. I just don't know if that's what the asking price is. I know that he's looking for a bigger role, though. There were rumors that came out, like, almost immediately after the season came up. Hey, I mean, you scoff, but, like,
hey, I think he'd be, like, the fourth option on the Celtics, realistically. Like, is that crazy of me to think? Like, I think it would be the Jays, Evan Fournier, then Kyle Kuzma. Like, who else is – like, Marcus Smart should be taking more shots.
He'd
be
I mean, he should definitely take more shots than Marcus Smart if that was the case. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. That's
know.
A fair argument.
That's my reasoning.
Does he start?
I think so. I think he could.
Ooh, really?
I think you want him off the bench.
I think I'd rather have Fournier off the bench. I think I'd rather have Fournier rolling against bench units. And Smart, you start, what, Smart, Brown, Tatum, Kuzma, Al Horford, and then you run Evan Fournier and Robert Williams off the bench so they have a connection. I think that'd be great.
I would probably
switch Al.
I'd probably flip Kuzma and Tatum, so play Tatum at the four.
Yeah, yeah.
He's bulked up enough that, like, that's kind of where he excels at. Fair. And if you rank Kuzma at the three, you'd have a little bit of a size mismatch. So, or kind of. I mean, it's kind of difficult. All the wings are getting taller. Hell, like, Kevin Durant's technically a small forward. So
he's a big dude. And centers are getting smaller, which is weird. It's like this weird – I don't get it, how it's working. But anyways, we can move on to another recent rumor that I know I got a lot of slack for on Twitter today because apparently I didn't phrase my tweet correctly. I got 9 quote tweets and 0 likes. So that should tell you how bad my tweet
was. I was one of them.
Eric Bledsoe is supposedly, you know, in trade talks and the Celtics are interested. And the way I phrased it was, if Eric Bledsoe is coming to the Celtics, you have to imagine that Marcus Smart is on the move, right? Because you can't have both of those guys, right? Especially starting in the same lineup. And most people took that as, oh, I would trade Marcus Smart for Eric Bledsoe. No. First of all, I don't like the idea of Eric Bledsoe. And second of all, if you're trading for Eric Bledsoe, you trade Marcus Smart for something else. You trade Marcus Smart for the 10th pick. Or I guess in the same trade, I do Bledsoe in the 10th pick for Smart. I would consider that trade. I think you could do Smart for other depth somewhere else. You trade him to the Warriors for 14 and, you know, Jordan Poole or something. I'm not saying you trade Smart for Bledsoe straight up. That's stupid. I'm just saying if Bledsoe is coming to Boston, I think Marcus Smart should be traded somewhere else. And I'm not advocating for Bledsoe to Boston either. I think that's a terrible idea. But I'm just saying if it were to happen, him and Marcus Smart should not coexist. That's just my opinion. But yeah.
we got to stop with the hypothetical trades. I've had enough.
That's all it is. That's all we got right now. I don't know what you're expecting here.
Listen, Jack, a time comes every offseason where I start to bitch. Here we are. We've made it. Remember last year I was like, this is it. We're talking about the food they're going to eat in the bubble.
Last year was bad.
I was furious.
But what do you guys make or think of the Eric Bledsoe rumors? I assume you're not on board as much as I am.
I think it's substantiated. Like, okay, here's the real problem is a lot of people got verified on Twitter, and also congrats to both of you, but there are random
too many people got verified. Let's be real. Too many people. I didn't deserve it.
Barry Bonds with a Z, who's like putting out stuff being like Dame Lillard wants to go to the Knicks or the 76ers, and everyone's like, who the hell is this guy? And then he put out a rumor today saying that New Orleans does not plan to make an offer at all to Lonzo Ball. They don't plan trying to make an offer in free agency.
I've heard that. I've actually heard that from Sham. Sham's tweeted that they're not matching anything, which is interesting. I've heard that they're not like interested in bringing Sham's. It was in an article for The Athletic. I can find it for you really quick. But he said the Pelicans are highly unlikely to match any offer Lonzo Ball gets this offseason.
So that guy just put out a tweet that Sham's
basically reported a week ago.
That's stupid.
Let me go find it for you.
Jeez. All right. Well,
it was a while ago. Let me go find it. It was in like a Ben Simmons article. I'll do some research while you guys discuss because the Pelicans are. Go ahead.
No, go on.
The Pelicans are reportedly shopping Bledsoe and Steven Adams, which is, you know, shocker, right? Because they both stink. Yeah, exactly. But they're also I think one thing that could happen I saw is the Hornets get a first round pick and Steven Adams for a second round pick. That way they absorb Adams' salary and they get a first because they don't have a center. Anyways, they're also interested in Kyle Lowry, the Pelicans, which is just non-Celtics again, but it's another interesting rumor for I want your guys' thoughts on while I look up this Shams tweet.
Go ahead, Tim.
That makes sense now. If you think about it with the Lowry rumor, like specifically if you look at him compared to Marcus Smart, like a lot of people draw those parallels between the two, between Lowry and Smart. And I think if New Orleans traded for Marcus, he would get put into that system and would immediately like help set the tone. He would set that defensive intensity. He would be like a cultural reset. Like he would just establish like a really, really strong culture in that locker room, only because like you bring him in as a veteran and he would provide some leadership there. I think in Boston, like I want Smart to stay, but in order for Marcus Smart to stay, he needs to buy into that role, the facilitator, because when he facilitates, like the team does great. When he takes too many shots and he's not, you know, looking for guys as much, like he excels as a playmaker. And that's really what Boston needs. With Bledsoe, I don't really like that. But I mean, if a deal is Bledsoe on number 10 for Marcus and like a second rounder, I consider it, because I mean, I know a lot of people have been high on Josh Giddey. Like you might be able to get Giddey at number 10, or you can flip number 10 and another player and get somebody good who can be a starting point guard for you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's worth it. You're talking about Bledsoe and 10 for Smart.
Yeah, I would consider it.
I would do it. I would definitely do that. Sam, I know you're definitely not
high on Giddey. I'm not going to thrash the idea as much as I usually would, just because I mean, everybody must be high on him for a reason. I'm not a draft guy. Whoever they pick, I'll be behind. But I think Marcus will buy into the playmaking role. I think he has in the past. The times you see him take a lot of shots are when he kind of has to. It's not when everybody's healthy.
That's the issue. He always has to.
Well, that's not his
fault. I know that's not his fault, but my point is, when you have that constant need for a guy to step up and he's just not exactly doing the best job of it, right? Like, I don't dislike Marcus Smart before I get million, you know, hate comments come my way. But when that guy who you need to step up into that role when he has to isn't performing, then you know what I'm saying, Sam? I mean, yeah, that's kind
of... No, I know what you mean. And there are times he does a fantastic job at stepping
up.
It is a problem that he's not always reliable. Sure. Would you like him to be more consistent? Absolutely. But there are plenty of times that you can point to, especially in big games, that he does show up offensively. He is a playoff guy. Especially these last two seasons, he's been fantastic in the playoffs. He was the second best guy in the Toronto series, which was a tight series last year, which shouldn't have been, but it was, behind Tatum.
Yeah.
He was on the Celtics, second best.
Yeah.
He was
amazing.
He won them game two pretty much by himself, brought the team back from double digits in the fourth, made five threes in a row. One of them was an and one. This year, he was the second best guy in the Nets series behind Tatum. I mean, he is and he was consistent. He had one bad game from what I remember. Game one, he was good. Game two, I mean, he was fine. Game three, he was really good. Game four, he was decent. Game five was not a good game. But he has been better more than he has been bad.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, which is important.
I think that's fair.
I think the playoffs are your measuring stick for a lot of these guys. That's why I'm high on Romeo right now, because I think he had a really good playoff series.
Yeah, I think you make fair points. And I don't dislike Marcus Smart. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But I also have to think of the contract aspect, which I know you don't like thinking about, Sam.
It is
tough. You hate the money.
It is tough. But if he doesn't want to stay and they can't work something out, they might have to trade him like we talked about with Adam. But ideally, you would like to keep him around.
Well, what's that number? What's that number? What's the most you pay him?
I think it's $22 million. I think that's the top of it. I think that's I think that's a lot. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I think think right now. I literally have Spot Rack up for this sole purpose of being able to pull up contracts.
How much he make now? 13?
Yeah.
Speaking
my max is like 18. That's where I'm sitting at.
Well, it's another $4 million though. I mean, so 18 might be high for you though. You might think like 18 is
my
high.
That's my cap.
I think that might be my cap too, if I'm being completely honest. So he's making 13.8. His cap hit, however, is about 14.34 million. So like realistically, I think, I mean, okay, so think about Evan Fournier's contract. Like we've heard a lot of numbers thrown out. I mean, I think he's going to land somewhere between 15 to 18 million. Is that what you can pay for Smart, or do you think Smart is going to ask for more, or can you get him for like 16, 17 million?
I'm in the boat that thinks he'll take a team friendly deal, but it's not necessarily guaranteed. I've been absolutely wrong. I thought Horford would do the same and he didn't. He left for Philly. It's a mystery, man.
I've been reading a lot of articles on The Athletic. I paid for the subscription. I caved in. I bought it. I'm reading all the articles. John Hollinger is putting out a bunch of great stuff. I love his articles. He has this number called boards, B-O-R-D number or dollar sign, right? And basically the concept, because I can't begin to explain it, I don't want to begin to explain it because I don't even understand it myself. It's like this big, you know, formula he has that'll tell you how much these players are worth. It boils it down to a number, whatever. And BORDS stands for big old rate in dollars. So it's not like he's being like completely serious. He has a whole formula, like, you know, ratings, you know, points, age, stuff like this, that boils down to this number. He has Evan Fournier at around 13 million, which I think would be a steal, right? Which
that would be a steal. I would love that.
But I also think that other teams are going to poach him in free agency. I think they'll try. I think these teams around the league are going to give him offers depending on, you know, where he wants to go. I think the Mavericks are going to throw him an offer probably if Hardaway leaves. I think the Heat, who have cap space, are going to throw him an offer. That's not biased. They're just one of the few teams that have the space to sign him. And then you can make an argument for other teams around the league. Depending on what the Spurs want to do, they could do it. Because you never fucking know what the Spurs are going to do, right? So it's going to be easy but also hard for the Celtics to retain him, if that makes sense, because they have the money to, you know, re-sign him, obviously, because they have his rights. But at the same time, there are a lot of teams in free agency who I think could offer him around 15 million. And then if you're asking me if I'd rather have Marcus Smart or Evan Fournier, it's not as easy as a question as maybe it is for you, Sam, because I think they bring such vastly different skill sets.
Oh, they do.
You need both of. Like, you need Fournier's, like, super efficient shooting, but you also need Marcus Smart's defense. But at this point, what is more important, right?
Shooting. Because
that's what I think. That's what I'm leaning towards. But I also understand, because you also have to consider, Evan Fournier is not a terrible defender. He's not, like, great, but he's not bad. Marcus Smart is not a good shooter. Like, he's streaky, but he's not a good shooter. Let's be real.
He's
like,
he's shown glimpses.
He's shown glimpses. He's had stretches, but he's, like, the beginning of this season, we were all like, oh, he's about to do it. He's going to, like, shoot 38%. No. Like, it just plummeted. So
he's a good shooter when it matters. Tough for me.
That's true. For the most part.
It's not consistent. I don't know. My point is, I would trade Marcus Smart for a lottery pick. I don't know if that's, you know, unpopular opinion, Sam. I know you wouldn't because you're not a draft guy. I think that's good return in value. It'd be a significantly cheaper contract. You start to free up some of that money if you really, really cheaper. Do want to make – if you want to make a run at one of these guys in the next couple of years in free agency, that's how you do it. I think if you trade Marcus, I think you trade Tristan, I think you get ready to get rid of that Horford contract, and then you'll have maybe a max slot soon.
If you – are going to trade him for a lottery pick, you better have somebody in mind. If it is Giddey, which is the name that I've heard more than anything that people like at a value around whatever pick they can get for Marcus, you do it on draft night when you know you're going to get that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know you say this draft is deep. I don't know anything about the draft. So I'm very
I
leery.
Like some other guys too, but
I'd imagine you do, but I do not like trading someone that realistically should be the captain of your team, whether he's not the best guy, but he certainly has been there the longest. They certainly have tradition behind him. You know, it means something to have him on the team. To give him up for somebody that hasn't played a game yet is always very difficult for me. I don't love it. If you are really sold on some of these guys, like people are sold on Giddey, I mean, fine. But like, I mean, you said the Warriors, you trade him for 14. Like, I would really not want to give him up unless you're getting both the.
I mean,
both
14's
of those picks.
Low. I'd ask for, like, I know
I would want
mean
both
to
of
you.
Those picks. Seven
I
and
don't
14.
Think they would even begin to get.
They would
they
know.
Don't,
there is
don't
no
want
way
them.
They would.
I would.
Work.
I would do
two
smart
lottery
for, like,
picks.
14 and, like, maybe Pascal or maybe like Jordan Poole or Damian Lee or like one of those shooters. Like, I'd do that. But I think the Warriors are going to end up trading those picks in Wiggins for Ben Simmons or for Pascal Siakam. I think they're going
to
make some blockbuster this offseason.
I think Why? I think the because it gives them longevity. It's like,
but they're trying to win now. I think they're
but you're, you can win now with if you pick good. Especially you say this draft is deep. Okay, you pick whatever players. I don't know, but you're gonna have those guys. Those guys are gonna get better as the Splash Brothers decline. I mean, you're setting yourself up to be good for a long time. It's up to them. I mean, this isn't a Warriors podcast. I don't know much about their team. but if I was them, I mean, you already have Wiseman, who's a good piece, even though he's been injured and stuff like that, which is never good for a big guy. Big guys are dangerous when they're injured. But, I mean, you really have a chance to set yourself up to be like a – maybe not a dynasty, but like the Spurs where you're always in it.
Yeah, yeah, because like, you could pair those young guys with James Wiseman, which I think would obviously be ideal. But then you also have to consider, you know, Clay, Draymond, Steph have, what, so many years left, and they're good enough to win a championship if you put the right pieces next to them.
Absolutely.
So you just got to weigh those options, in my opinion. But
what do you think of the Dame Lillard thing?
Oh, gosh. For the Warriors, I think they have the best package for Dame. I think the Warriors
I sure hope they get him. That's where picks. I want him to go.
Yeah. Really? Why?
Well, they could get market. Why? Because it's not the Knicks. It's not the 76ers. It's not the Lakers. It's not any of these teams that I don't want to see get him. As a Celtics fan, that is the best, safest spot that he could go.
I will say this now on the record. I think if the Warriors trade for Dame Lillard, I think Steph Curry is gone.
Ooh, fine with me.
Because of that money. Because of that money. And I mean, like,
do they trade him, or is he just walks?
No, I think he would walk in next free agency. He's got 1 year on his deal, and they still
have. So they'd have 1 year with both of them, though, right?
Yeah,
they'd have 1 year with both. But then, if that's the plan, I don't know if Dame would want to do that. And not that he has a choice, but you know, it's Dame, and he has a great relationship with the Blazers. He has some sort of say in this.
He's not a prick.
So
even though I'm very much in the boat, like, shut up, you're under contract. Like, weep, like,
which he has so far.
He's been pretty good. He hasn't been a prick. He's not like Harden. Harden is.
And in fairness, they've done a lackluster job. Like they've.
I don't know why Harden little changes.
Yeah, Harden. They
in comparison,
dude. Like, Harden deserved to get shipped to like Vancouver.
He got so much talent built around him.
Like, yeah, he just couldn't do it.
If Kyrie was not involved with the Celtics, he would be the one I like the least on that team.
Yeah,
Harden. Just from an unbiased like. Any Celtics beef aside, he is the I cannot stand him.
I don't mind Durant. I like as a person. I like I think Durant. He's funny. Durant I think he's plenty of hilarious.
Past. Good for him.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is another one I've been meaning to ask. What do you think of the DeJounte Murray rumors, Tim?
I like him. I think you're kind of trying to see. I think you have to be really, really certain if you make a trade for anybody, especially because. If you look at that deal, like, what's the best trade package you think you could put together beside it being like a one for one smart for Murray kind of situation?
I think you could do Romeo, Grant Williams, Tristan Thompson, and 2 first-round picks.
For nothing like that? That's free. That's what we like. Those are the trades, Jack. Keep pumping them out. We finally got something that's worth doing.
I think
you like that one.
Of course I like it. They're not giving up anything important. Actually, Romeo's kind of important.
First-round picks is pretty important.
First-round picks are meaningless. We don't want picks anymore. Jack, funny enough, Jack all season said he doesn't want any more young guys. Now the draft's here, and he's all pick-happy.
Like the draft. That's just me.
I want a lottery pick now. I'm like, Jack, all season, you said you don't want them taking any more guys. Now you want a lottery pick.
Yeah.
You have to be really sure that Murray is your point guard. Like, you have to be really, really sure. I like him, but you have to be really certain that he's, like, your best fit. He's the best option available. Or, like, do you think that maybe, like, Derek White's a better choice?
I would consider that before Murray, and I don't think you'd have to give up as much. I think maybe a similar package. You keep Grant and you keep one of the first. So you do what? Romeo, Tristan, and a first?
I would or do maybe Romeo you keep Tristan Romeo. In a first in like yeah. a second rounder. You probably have to throw in a second rounder to sweeten that, mm-hmm. but like you get a lottery talent in Romeo, you can build around him, you can make him another ball handler, or you can just make him like
then you can run slasher. Yeah. You run DeJounte, Romeo, you got Keldon Johnson still, Devin Vassell still there in San Antonio, Yucca Pirtle to run the five, Tristan Thompson to back him up. Obviously you could, you know, also buy out Tristan Thompson if you want to, because they'll have the money too, but I think the Spurs would consider it depending on what direction they go in. I don't really know what they're going to do this offseason because DeMar DeRozan's free agent too, and who the hell wants DeMar DeRozan? Let's be real. Like, who's going to sign him?
I wonder how much money he's going to make.
That's the question, right? Any. Like, how, I don't how think much he'll make anything. Him? Nothing. I don't want him. I would pay $0
You'd pay to sign $0 him.
Really?
No, because
he's still got something he has to value. Offer. He's got value.
He can't
value,
play
man.
Defense. He can't shoot threes. He can drive to the rim, threes. But he's going to – he
can't
what does
create
he provide?
His own shot, though. That is one
he,
thing.
But he killed
but
the
you
Celtics
have,
in that Spurs game. He killed the Celtics that
you don't
game.
Need shot
I'm
creators,
not a big
though.
DeRozan guy, but I think it's interesting to see where he ends up because wherever he ends up, he's not going to have to be the guy, and he's going to have a role.
But
and
then
he
what's
might
his role if he's not the guy?
That bench
I think he's – no, but I think – he's one of those guys who, if he's not the guy, he is useless. I that's just what I think, right?
Well, you could be the guy off the bench.
Yeah.
I guess so. But then you're telling me DeMar DeRozan is unplayable with the starting unit, right? Like, that's just such a steep drop.
No, that's what you're telling me.
That's what I think he is. And that's why I'm saying I wouldn't pay anything for him. Maybe throw him the MLE, like $5 million. Like, maybe I'll give you $5 million. But it's just like, at that point, he needs to be the best guy on the roster because only those best guys have the freedom to just create their own shots and take mid-range. Like, look at Chris Paul. It works for him because he's one of the best players in the Suns.
Well, yeah, he's also, like, the point guard. He's, like, a top five point guard, like, ever.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, look at Devin Booker. Like,
let's talk about Middleton,
shoot all he wants.
I think Middleton fits right into your, you know. I mean,
Middleton
he's
is vastly different, though, because he can shoot.
No. I'm not saying they're the same. I'm saying I'm giving you guys that aren't, like, the, like, top dudes all time.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Middleton's a guy that creates his own shot. I mean, he's
can create
one.
His own shot in better ways. Right?
Not saying DeRozan's the same guy. I'm backing your point. I'm giving you an example top all-time player.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know where he fits, right? Like, who's going to sign DeRozan? That's my, like, where? Who wants the Lakers?
Someone who needs a really solid rotational piece
Miami
for, like, the mid-level.
I think the Lakers.
Miami makes a lot of sense, actually.
I think he'll go to L.A.
Well,
because
he's from LA.
There's all the rumors that he wanted to play for the Lakers all those years ago, and then he signed that extension with the Raptors.
I'm going to play for the Lakers. He'll be useless. Yeah, sure. He'll play alongside LeBron and not be able to shoot threes.
That would be a terrible fit, right? He'd just have to only come off the bench, and that would just give them another guy who they can't play in crunch time moments. Like, they'd have, what, Andre Drummond, Montrezl Harrell, and DeMar DeRozan all chilling on the bench together in fourth quarter of the playoff game. Like, good job. Have fun with that, LA. Like, that's just not what they need. And if they want to sign it for talent's sake, then go ahead. But
I need the Warriors to be a powerhouse this year. Just guarantee
just for the sake
me
of the playoffs.
Because I don't know if Phoenix is gonna. I'm not Clippers saying they caught screwed. Lightning in a bottle, but I think I don't know if they're gonna be this good again.
Clippers are screwed. While the iron's hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Clippers are also in a spot too because
they're screwed.
Kawhi might jump out of there, man. And he's
no
hurt.
Idea what's gonna happen with Kawhi. Yeah.
No idea.
Maybe he takes that 1 year to just recover and just take the money. Like, that's
that was
the
ideal
thing.
For them.
Yeah. I will say, though, at the same time, not that Kawhi is going to drop off in one season, but if he does leave, he has a market right now. It'll just be like Kevin Durant last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll sign with the Nets and he just won't play the first year, and which is he'll get a max contract for 4 years somewhere else. So maybe he takes that guaranteed 4 year contract somewhere. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what
I wonder if you're the Celtics if you try and get Kawhi.
How?
It all depends on cost.
No. Well, I mean, I don't know anything about money, but I mean, if you were really in on it, right? And you said
it's physically impossible.
It's not
you'd
physically
have,
impossible.
You'd have
say
to
you,
do a
like,
sign and trade.
Like you just get rid of a bunch of guys to clear cap. Like there are ways to do it. But
I don't
really
think
difficult
there
is. With the Horford deal. I mean, like
yeah,
it's literally
trade how.
I mean, you would be either that or you're trading like Marcus and like it depends what the money is, right? Because like when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, he took a pay cut. Like when he first signed his contract there, he took a pay cut in order for them to be able to fit everybody. And I don't know if Kawhi would do that. And also,
hell no.
No, I don't. If you're throwing a bunch of money at a guy who's hurt right now.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm just, I don't know, man. Kawhi, for some reason, just because of the Raptors season and the Celtics could have got him. And not that I regret not having them trade for him because he would have left and they would have given up Jaylen Brown and been empty handed. But I mean, man, like, but then he's been on the Clippers, man, and they haven't been good or they've underachieved.
underachieve. And I'm not saying it's a thing, but the most they did was when he was hurt. That's just a stupid take. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they made the conference finals without
Kawhi. I think he picked the wrong running mate. Like, Paul George has, like, this renaissance performance in the playoffs, and it's when Kawhi is not there. So, like, I think he just picked a guy that he liked. He didn't necessarily pick the best running mate. I think pretty much everyone who's ever picked Paul George to be a running mate has just been like, wow, this is a terrible idea.
Paul George was the best when he was by himself.
He needs to be the guy.
And he can be the guy. Good this year as the guy.
I think he
better.
Can be the
Maybe
guy.
Not good, but he was better than he ever really has been recently.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he was great in OKC when he took over, when Russ was like, okay, PG, you go ahead. Top three in MVP voting, Paul George? Top three in DPOY voting? Like, that was an amazing season. It's just Dame. It's just Dame.
Destroyed by Dame.
That was tough. That was not ideal. But that's all I have for Celtics rumors, etc. You know, to go around today. I did end up finding that Shams Lonzo Ball thing, which we never talked about because we just got into different conversations.
It's crazy that they're not going to even match.
The quote was,
the Pelicans are screwed.
Like, in a Shams article, screwed. Shams. Posted Lonzo Ball update. New Orleans is unlikely to match a significant offer sheet on Ball, sources said. Ball, 23, is among the top point guards in the free agent market. The Bulls and Clippers are expected to be among the teams interested in him, according to sources. He averaged career highs in points and 3-point shooting percentage this past season. So, yeah, it's tough.
Pelicans are screwed.
Well, they're going to do a
sign. Zion's already bitching that he wants to leave, and
his family
been there.
Which is worse.
Screw him. If I'm the Pelicans.
The family gets in the ear, man. Oof.
No, but seriously, you've played less than 2 years because you really sat out most of the first year, and you played like who are you to complain? Shut up!
I will say, in fairness, last year what they did was fucking horrendous. Like, what the fuck was that team they put next to them? You're going to put Zion Williamson in the starting lineup with Steven Adams? I'm a fucking 22-year-old kid, and I could have told you not to do that. What is wrong with you? And they signed Stan Van Gundy to be the head coach. They were a mess. Like, and I've listened to JJ Redick's podcast, too. Apparently, the Pelicans told him they would, you know, work out a trade. Yeah, they were telling him at the start of the season. David Griffin, they're like, yeah, we'll work out a trade for wherever you want to go, because he wanted to be near Brooklyn because that's where his family is located. He was like, he prefaced it, was like, I didn't want to go to the Nets. I just wanted to be in the Northeast next to my family, right? And then they fucking sent him to Dallas halfway through the season. Like, he had no say in that. And obviously, you don't have a say in the trading, but that's just bad business, right? To tell him you're going to facilitate a trade to somewhere he wants
to tell him,
right?
That.
And so, on top of the fact that they filled the roster with non-shooters who Zion couldn't play with, and now they're not, you know, going to re-sign their quote-unquote franchise point guard who they brought in from the AD trade, right? You're running Lonzo Ball at shooting guard half the time, so Bledsoe could be point guard. Like, it's just – the way they run their organization is terrible. It's just horrendous.
They're not going to re-sign him.
Right?
You gave up Anthony Davis for him, and he's going to walk?
It just makes
it's not sense. Like he's completely like bottomed
Josh
out.
Hart
like
wants
you
out
said.
Too. Hart wants out too. Like, it's just like, what's going on? Like,
that franchise needs to move somewhere else.
Seattle, all those picks. Those picks better hit, man. Those picks better hit.
There, Jesus. Like, and why? I'm sorry. Again, why are you taking Jackson Hayes if you just drafted Zion? Right? Like, realistically, I know it's a draft night trade, but you spent your first overall pick on Zion Williamson, and then you pick a center who can't shoot the ball to play next to him. It's just like those types of decisions that make no sense. Like, who else was there available when Jackson Hayes went off the board? Because I have to assume there was someone better than that fit. Well, like, they could have had Rui Hachimura, Cam Reddish. The next five after Jackson Hayes, immediately after, in order: Hachimura, Cam Reddish, Cam Johnson, PJ Washington, Tyler Hero. What the fuck were you doing?
And then Romeo. Like, they could have Romeo.
Then Romeo. Then they got – you got Matisse Thybulle in the back.
Grant Williams.
Clark. Darius. Like, that is a horrendous draft pick. And even if Jackson Hayes turns out to be this dominant force at center, he can't play next to Zion. Right? Like, it's just
– where have we heard this before, where you draft two really good players that can't play together? It seems so familiar.
It's just – it's –
they're a Philly of the South.
It's painful. It's just painful, right? At least Philly had a chance, right? You're hoping Ben Simmons develops a jump shot. They had no chance in New Orleans. They are an absolute fucking disaster. So it's
and people don't want to play there, like
for real. Like, who wants to play
at least more? Say they move to Seattle. At least, like, there's a lot of good players from the Pacific Northwest that would love to play in Seattle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, I forget if you said the same or I just thought somewhere. St. Louis ever gets a team, goodbye Jason Tatum. He's moving to St. Louis. Yeah, don't
speak that into the freaking universe. Oh my god. No, I die.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to curb the. I'm not big on the expansion.
I would love it.
Yeah, you'd love it. Then they'd put a team in St. Louis. Then we'd be like,
no. Oh. I think it'd be Seattle and Vegas.
I don't think it would be St. Louis either. But
I think that
it leaves a chance for it to
create more jobs for us. That's what I want. It would create more jobs for us to apply for. That's where my mindset's at. I would love you move to Seattle and cover the Sonics. I think that'd be amazing. But anyways, that's all the topics I had for today. Was there anything else either of you guys wanted to bring up before we start to wrap up the show here?
Nah, I mean, Colin Sexton.
I would love Colin Sexton. Sam was fits on into the TPE. Sam is on the record saying that is one of the few guys he would consider trading Smart for. Am I correct?
Yeah, he's young. He plays hard. You know, he plays hard on defense. The only problem is you would probably have to pay him soon, which is it kind of puts you in the same boat.
But
you know, you're worried about paying Marcus, and now you got to worry about paying this guy.
Yeah, but I mean, he's young enough that you're like you'd be paying him to be part of the core.
Yeah, you absolutely would.
I think any and all moves, by the way, you have to be clearing with the Jays. Like, you got to be talking to them, being like, hey, would you be open to us moving Marcus? Do you want to play with Marcus? Like, as important as Marcus is, like, I would be having those meetings with the Jays, be like, hey, like, we kind of have to worry about paying him soon. All right, do you want him here long term? But he fits, like, I will say this, Colin Sexton fits into that Kemba Walker deal. He fits into that TPE.
Yes, sir. Perfect. Yes, he does.
So
that'd be great.
And you can still use the other TPEs. I mean, I don't know. I would consider it. I like it.
I think the only issue is there is that there might be more enticing packages being offered their way. I've seen stuff like immediately just from me, you know, writing about them. I've seen a package that is suggested, you know, Tyler Hero, 2 first round picks, Precious Achiuwa, and someone else for Sexton and Love. Right. So you could get both back. Like, do you want Marcus Smart or Tyler Hero, right? And obviously Marcus Smart's a better player right now, but if you're the Cavs,
if you're looking to build,
exactly, let's be real,
he's young, he's showed promise. Miami,
you get off the Love contract.
Miami not big on giving him up though in the past.
They also have Jared Allen too. They have Jared Allen that's a restricted free agent, so would they let Allen walk, or would they keep Achiuwa and like run Achiuwa at the 5?
I think you could run Achiuwa as a backup. I don't think he's ready to start right now anyways. And you'd get Goran Dragic and Iguodala in that deal too to match the Love contract. So you'd have those two people.
Oh my god.
So you'd get some big contracts.
From a Heat perspective, if I would take on that Love deal.
They want Love. It's rumored that they want Love. Well, it's also rumored that they're working on a buyout and he's going to be looking for a vet minimum contract.
Okay, then just wait for that.
Yeah, but hey, if you want to add Sexton too, that's also something you could, you know, you could vie for. Because you got to weigh those scenarios if you're the Heat. Like, would I rather have just Kevin Love, or would I rather eat his contract for a couple of years and get Colin Sexton to pair with Bam Adebayo after Jimmy Butler's gone, right? Because that's a playoff team, in my opinion, in a few years once Jimmy's gone too. So it's an interesting debate to be had there. But I'd love Sexton on the Celtics. The only concern is there that you're basically losing any playmaking you already had outside of Evan Fournier, right? Yeah. So and I'm not saying Sexton's a bad passer, because realistically, who the fuck was he going to pass to in Cleveland
people
anyways?
Can improve too.
So, yeah. So we'll have to see from that perspective there. But that's going to be it for us today, I think. Thank you so much for joining us, Tim. We appreciate you often on the show once again. Is there anything you wanted to plug or say before we wrap up the show here?
No.
That's
enjoy
a lie.
The finals.
Go follow Tim's newsletter on Medium. Still the Clover disclosure, correct? I don't want to push or anything. I know you move.
No. I'm just on Medium now. You can find me at Tim Shields NBA on Twitter. I occasionally post NBA stuff.
for sure. Go check out his work on Medium. Great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us on the show again today, Tim. You guys can follow me at Jack Simone NBA. You can follow Tim at Tim Shields NBA. You can follow us at Bannertown USA. And per usual, Sam, go ahead and wrap us up.
Yeah, big shout out to Tim. We're looking forward to doing pregames again with him this year. It was always fun last year to hop on before the game, chat up with everyone in the YouTube chat. You can follow him at Tim Shields NBA. Follow Bannertown at Bannertown USA. Follow me and Jack at Jack's One NBA. Me at Sam LaFrance NBA. That's our show for today. Bye.